Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on our series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this will be part number 6. And wow, each day is an exciting day that we have this podcast, and how God has led us has been pretty incredible because, you know, when you lean yourself to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, you know, he gives you things and you know, what would look like rabbit trails or, you know,
tangents.
Yeah, that's the right word I was looking for to go on. And sometimes it seems as if, well, how did we get over there? But God so leads because, you know, we go back and listen to these too. You know, you guys who are listening to our podcast aren't the only ones who listen. We listen to them.
That's right, and we're ministered.
And it's like today when I was listening to it, I said, wow, I needed to hear this. I needed to hear it because the Holy Spirit's speaking through us, so he ministers to us as well. So we welcome you here today, and we hope this is going to be an exciting day for you as well as it's for us. And before we get into the teaching, as is my custom, I want to, you know, introduce and let my sweetheart, my most beautiful, wonderful wife, Miss Norca Karina, share a few words with you.
God is so good, and everything that he has planned for us, those that love him and fear him, they're good things. And this is a very good thing that the Lord has provided for those of us that are hungry for the truth, that are willing to listen to the truth, those of us that are teachable, and that's important to always remain teachable. Before the Holy Spirit. It's good that we continue to grow, but God is so good. He is so great, and that there is so much more that he wants us to know. And this is not just, oh, this is nice information. It was really nice to hear that. No, this is life-changing, and it is very important for us not only to listen with our ears, but also our heart, and not only be listeners, hearers of this word, but also doers. So I can speak for myself. This word has truly transformed me, has enriched me, and I'm excited not only for myself, but also for the fact that now I am going to be a useful instrument in the hands of the Lord as he can use me to certainly bless others.
Amen, sweetheart. That's a wonderful word. You know, very encouraging to me as well, you know, for the teaching gift that God has given me. And yet, at the same time, many people may not know it, but you're a formidable minister yourself in the Word, in preaching and teaching and pastoring, and you know, quite inspiring to me as well. So, you know, those don't know, you and your mother have a podcast in Spanish, and you lead a Spanish service on Sunday mornings, and it's quite awesome. I mean, I'm just blown away. You know, of course, I do most of my teaching in the English service. But the Spanish service, wow, you and those other ministers do awesome, wonderful jobs. And I appreciate that because I'm very blessed.
God is good. Thank
Amen.
You.
So with this subject, we want to continue on with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we want to talk about the ways in which it is ministered. And we already talked about this in the previous few podcasts about how it was sovereignly given on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and also in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius's household. But there's three other examples in the book of Acts, and they're found in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 19. And each one of those came through the laying on of hands. So we want to try to go over those if we can in this podcast, but we're going to just trust the Lord who lead us on what he wants us to do, you know, what he wants us to cover here, because you know, sometimes God has us say things in a way that, you know, is going to minister to some people, maybe in a different kind of way than what we predicted. So we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading.
That's
so
right.
We're going to start out here in Acts chapter 8. And this is the case where Philip had went down to Samaria to preach the gospel to them, and they all were receiving, you know, the power of God being manifested, people getting healed and delivered and set free. And we see here in verse 5, it says that Philip went down to, you know, Acts chapter 8, verse number 5, says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things which spoke, things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Wow, I mean, I would imagine so, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it says, "But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Now, you know, before we go on any further on this particular topic here, I want to make a side note here how powerful this is, that when we talk about the importance of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this was truly a powerful thing to see happen, because this man was operating in sorcery and witchcraft, and he may not have known how bad or evil it was to do these such things. You know, because a lot of times people think because they're operating in magic, wow, God has given them some power, you know, and people were amazed and astonished. Because we see some of these things even today, you know. I will even be bold enough to say that there are actual some magic witchcraft being performed on some of these talent shows, like America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's like, there's just absolutely no way that some of this is a sleight of hand. Now, some of it is, but some of it is a straight-up witchcraft, because there's no way certain things can disappear and reappear like that. And even to the point in some of it, frightens the people on the panel. You know, but, you know, what we're talking about here is in this case with Philip, he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. People were getting healed. It said those who were possessed with demons were being delivered. Those who were paralyzed and lame were healed. That's some powerful stuff.
It is.
And Simon, he must have had somewhat of a good heart, because he believed and he received Jesus Christ and he was delivered and set free. But what I'm going to get to next is about how the baptism of the Holy Spirit was ministered. Because they said when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. That's what it says in verse 12. And of course, as Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, he continued to Philip with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which are done. Now, verse 14 is where the key is I want to get to. "Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit."
Beautiful.
Now, some might say, well, weren't they born again already? Very likely. But what they're talking about here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they're looking for the manifestation. And here's the proof of that. Because it says here, "And when Simon saw," verse 18, "and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands on, lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' And Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned with bitterness and bound by iniquity.' Then Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.' So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." And we'll stop there. And of course, I'll make another side note here. You know, Peter called him out, you know, because you're not going to get the gift of the Holy Spirit by money. And he wanted to have this power, you know, because obviously prior to his conversion, he had supernatural power operating in his life. And he still wanted to have that same thing again. And but yet he thought he could purchase it with money. And yet by what Peter said to him about repenting, he actually said, pray for me. I don't want these things to come upon me. So I believe he had a good heart in turning, you know, seeing the error of his ways here. You know, Peter said, you know, that his heart wasn't right. But I'm thinking in terms of that he took the correction, the rebuke, and he asked for help, for prayer. But see here, the point what I want to get at ultimately here is this, that how did they receive the Holy Spirit? He said they laid hands on him and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't see anything here in this particular passage that tells them what did Simon see? Because it says when Simon saw, verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So he saw something. What did he see? He had to see some form of manifestation because, you know, you can lay hands on people all day long and nothing happens. And he's like, well, you know, we don't know that there's anything to this. So they had to receive something that was seen visibly.
That's right, in the natural world.
Right? So it doesn't say. I can make the conjecture, you might say, to say, well, what they saw was what they saw in Acts chapter 2.
The speaking in tongues.
The speaking in tongues, the prophesying, you know, and those sort of things, the manifestation of the Spirit, right? But somebody says, well, you know, I don't know about that for sure because there's no proof of this very thing. Okay, so, okay, I'll grant somebody that, you know, their, you know, that potential. But let's go on and look at some other examples and we'll see, you know. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. And this is the case where Paul, when he was saved and he received the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm not going to try to read this whole chapter, but, you know, kind of surmise because, you know, you as the listeners, if you don't know this story or not familiar with it, you can always go back and read the entire chapter because, you know, Paul is on, you know, who was called Saul at the time, was on his way to persecute the Christians who were having them arrested because he believed they were, you know, deceived in an evil cult and he needed to, you know, help, you know, set things straight, you know, like the Pharisees. But he had his conversion on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him and basically told him, you know, that, you know, that I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. So he was blinded at the time. And then you know, here it says in verse 5, when he, well, let's back up here, verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Hmm. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. So he was blinded. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Notice here, he says, he sees him putting his hand on him.
That's awesome.
Laying on of hands, right? Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Amen. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him. Here we go again. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. Because it says here in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized.
Amen.
So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Wow. This is so awesome. I just love this story. You know, here once again, the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes power. Power.
Amen.
Manifested to open his blind eyes, to fill him with the Holy Spirit, to change his whole perspective on life. Here he was bent on getting every Christian he could arrested and imprisoned. Even what we read that, what's his name?
Stephen.
I don't know why it slipped in my mind here. I said, forgive me, everybody. I don't know why I'm having this. Maybe it's getting late. It's after 10.
This is live.
It's after 10 o'clock at night. So anyway, yeah, Stephen. So, you know, that story there that Stephen was, you know, stoned to death, and Saul, who became Paul, was part of that. You know, he stood by approving of what they were doing.
Imagine
so
that.
Here is Jesus appears to him and calls him and transforms his life. How did that happen? By the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something about the power of God that will get people's attention and change their very thinking in their life. Imagine this. We live in a world, you know, where there's a lot of evil going on around the world. You know, there's terrorists who are bent on destroying and killing people because of religious beliefs.
Right.
Imagine the Lord appearing to them and manifesting himself. And some of those very ones will be changed and transformed. So this is why we should always pray for our enemies. Because the Bible tells us to love our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us. Because Paul was, he was somebody that the Christians feared. You know, because when they actually brought him forth to reveal him as a disciple of Christ, many were scared and afraid that he was an imposter, that he was, you know, there to spy them out and try to catch them.
Sure.
And so, you know, this was no light thing because their life was in jeopardy. And so with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes this power to transform a person's life, not just, well, I believe in Jesus, but in such a radical way through the gifts of the Spirit. Because the gifts of the Spirit came in operation right here with Ananias. He had a vision and the Lord revealed to him, spoke to Ananias, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? You go to a street called Straight. I mean, how more specific can you get than that? Then get the address and the person's name and what they're doing when you get there.
Only God can do that.
And only God can do that. And then using that as an example of how Peter became a believer. Paul became a believer because when Ananias came, he explained to him exactly what happened. He said, Jesus appeared to you on the road, right? Appeared to you. So he had revelation of that because Paul had the revelation from Jesus himself saying, you know, go into a city and it'll be told you what you must do. So he used these supernatural acts and power to manifest himself in a way to both of them so that they both clearly knew this was God's will. And so when he laid hands on him, he was in faith to receive, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what took place when that happened? One, we got the fact that he was blind and something like scales fell from his eyes and he received his sight, right? Well, what else might have took place? Did he speak in tongues? Well, somebody says, well, see, the Bible doesn't say that. But it's kind of interesting because if you go over to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to turn there real quick and we'll come back here to this verse. And I think it's down here in verse number, where is this at? Where he says, I don't know where the verse is exactly right now, but he says here that I speak in tongues more than you all. I thank God that I speak tongues more, you know, he says here in verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words of my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So let me ask this question. Where did he get this gift to speak in tongues? When did that start? Well, I'm going to dare to say it started after he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because that was a change and a transformation of his life. And as we saw in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and we saw in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius' household, those were immediate signs, the first signs of what happened when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here it's interesting that Paul has a man named Ananias, a disciple, come to lay hands on him, and it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then later on, as he's teaching and preaching, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So obviously it came with the deal. It's part of the package deal, even though it didn't mention it right away when Ananias laid hands on him. So then we might safely assume that's exactly what Simon the former sorcerer saw when Peter and John came down and laid hands on him and they received the Holy Spirit. When he said he saw, when he saw that they had received the Holy Spirit, he offered them money. Give me this power also, right? So let's look at one more example here, which is the last example in the book of Acts. Let's see how much time we got left here to go over that. Yeah, so we're doing pretty good so far. So Acts chapter 19. And, of course, there's going to be more to say about this in the next podcast, because I want to talk about, kind of elaborate further on how the laying on of hands operates for the, you know, the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as well as the sovereign act of God of doing it like he did in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 10, and then differentiating between the two and why sometimes it's that one way and why it's sometimes the other way. So Acts chapter 19 is our last example of the three cases where the laying on of hands was the ministry, was the way it was ministered to them. Acts chapter 19. Now I got to turn there. We'll start at verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not heard so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning things of the kingdom of God. So, interestingly here, he lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they begin doing what? speaking in tongues, and prophesying.
Awesome.
Same sign you saw in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the day that it was first given, and on the case with Cornelius' household, because Peter and his company that came with him was preaching about Jesus being the one, having died on the cross for the sins of the world. And as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and they saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given because they saw them speaking with tongues and prophesying, And matter of fact, I might go back to that to reiterate that because, some people, need to hear it again. Verse 44 in Acts chapter 10 says, while Peter was speaking, this is to Cornelius' household, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, those who had came with, Peter, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So they said, it says right here, that because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God.
Amen.
There's your evidence.
That's right.
I mean, what else do you need to hear? I mean, what else do you need to see? I have people all the time want to argue with me about this stuff. Well, the speaking in tongues isn't for everybody because, they'll mention the scripture, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, at the end, it says, do all speak with tongues, assuming that, of course, that's saying no. But that's talking about the ministry of speaking, of gift of speaking in tongues, not the spiritual gift for the individual believer. We'll get into more of that later. And actually, we did talk about that some in our previous series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it may be for us to cover that again at some point down the road. But right now, we'll stick with this subject here at hand. But we see this as the sign, the initial sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So what can you expect to receive when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You should be able to expect to be able to speak in tongues also. Some say, well, I've had hands laid on me and I didn't speak with tongues, but I received power, or I believe I did. Well, sometimes people have some things hindering them or blocking them, or maybe the power didn't manifest as strong as it did for some other people. But yet I have through my experience in ministry of laying hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, have saw sometimes there was immediate, instant manifestation. And I saw in other cases where some, if they believed they received, they went their way. And as they went their way, trusting God and believing God for what they received through the laying on hands, that it would manifest, delayed. And somebody said, well, do you got scripture for that? Well, when Jesus told the 10 lepers to go show yourselves to the priests for their healing, they weren't healed when he said that. It says while they were on their way, they were healed. And then one of them turned back to come back and give glory to God, to Jesus. And Jesus said, we're not all 10 healed. Where are the rest of them at? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can operate like that. And maybe that was the case with Paul. We don't know. Maybe that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he didn't speak in tongues immediately, but as he heard about it and said, I'm supposed to have this too. And as he trusted God, it may have manifested a bit later. I don't know. And I know in my case, it was kind of similar to that. So what I'm saying is this, you can trust God to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you believe it's for you, because everything we've talked about up to this point in all these series that we've done, sweetheart, has been about how faith is so key ingredient to receiving from God, whether it's healing, God's delivering power, his divine protection, or whatever it might be. We receive things by faith. And, faith can only begin where the will of God is known. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know if it's the will of God, then you're going to be in a position of doubt. And you most likely are not going to receive. But if you see it and you believe it and you ask God for it, he will give it to you. This is why we have many scriptures on faith, that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this goes along also with seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you see it's in the scriptures, you see it's for today, it's for you, then you shouldn't rest until you get it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to go to bed at night and take, you know, go to sleep, you know, but you should pursue it until you get it, because you see it is for you. And if you're like us, you want everything God has for you. I don't want to be short of anything God has, because one is we need everything he has. We need all the tools. We live in an evil world today, and we need everything that's made available to us. So I'm going to end this podcast here on this note, you know, and turn it over to my sweetheart in just a moment here. But I want to say this again, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, and you should be going after it, pursuing until you get it. And when you get it, you'll know it, you know. And we'll talk more in the next podcast about, you know, how you can receive it, you know, because one here, you might say, well, Brother Keith, if you lay hands on me, I believe I receive, or Sister Karina and Pastor Karina can do that, I would believe I'd receive. But there's ways you can receive it apart from that, but we'll talk more about that later. So I want to kind of close this out here now, and we'll pick it up in the next podcast.
What a beautiful lesson. I'm sure that everyone who's been listening has been enriched, and we've learned a lot. You know, I was thinking about that example with Paul, how when he had that encounter with the Lord, with Jesus, and then as you said, him receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was that obvious manifestation, let's say, with the speaking in tongues. And not only the speaking in tongues, and that's important for the listeners to also embrace, it's not that the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to speak in tongues. Paul was made a new man. When you mentioned that, I was brought back to a verse that we just mentioned before starting the podcast in Ezekiel 36, where the Lord said, I am going to give you a new heart. And that's what he did with Paul. And so that encounter with the Lord and that the speaking in tongues, I know, as we agree, comes hand in hand with the manifestation of a new heart. And I'm saying it because some people may say, oh yes, I speak in tongues, but they do not walk according to the way the Lord wants them to walk. But this manifestation of speaking in tongues also is going to be seen with the manifestation of a new heart. So it is a good thing that you spoke about Paul, because we can see that example. He was not a man that was walking according to what God wanted him to do, but when he received the power, he was truly transformed and he was a new man. So praise God, because only God can do that, and he wants to do that with you, listener, not only for you to know about Jesus, but for you to actually give your heart to Jesus. You see, religion can't transform any heart. It is the encounter with Jesus himself what can transform your heart and give you that new heart and make you a new person. And that is the invitation. The Lord wants you to spend eternity with him. He wants you to have everything that he has died for and has already paid a price so that you and I may have. And that is life with Jesus, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. So the invitation is, open up your heart to the Lord today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow is too late. Today is the day of salvation. Say yes to Jesus, to everything that he has, but specifically to him, his life. He's exchanging his justice, and he wants you to give him your sins. And that's an amazing exchange. And when you do that sincerely, you know what? you now become part of the family of God, and now a great candidate, and for sure, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if that's what you seek.
Amen. Sweetheart, couldn't say it any better. So we'll conclude our podcast here, and we'll pick it up next time. So God bless everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Bye-bye.